We're using the word thyself tonight to call attention to more personal issues. In chapter 12 of the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord understood that the Israelites would have personal issues when he said, "Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest." That's Deuteronomy 12:13. And then again in verse 19, "Take heed to thyself, that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth." And then again down in verse 30, "Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee," that's the nations, "and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise." Three times in this chapter, the advice was given, the charge delivered, "Take heed to thyself." That shows they had personal issues to deal with. Thyself involves the person. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the New Testament equivalent of that is when Paul said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." We emphasized this morning that personal issues are issues that belong to the person. And every person has personal issues. We addressed 10 of those this morning by use of the word "own." This afternoon, the word "thyself" indicates that we have some personal issues that must be dealt with. Let me suggest a few of those for your consideration. The first personal issue that we want to talk about is love of neighbor. It goes back to the Old Testament. It's really an old command. In the book of Leviticus 19 and in verse 18, it was written, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Thyself, love for one's neighbor, is a personal issue. Nobody can do that for us. This is reiterated lots of times in the New Testament. When a young man asked the Lord, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" the Lord referred him to the commandments that were in force at the time, including, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," Matthew 19:19. And he addressed that personal issue very well, because he could say, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." We need young people like this young man who took care of personal things. In the book of Matthew 22 and in verse 39, when a certain lawyer asked the Lord, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" He talked about the need to love the Lord. That's the first and great commandment. And they said, "The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We're capitalizing on the use the Lord made of the word "thyself" to emphasize the fact that love of one's neighbor is a personal issue. In Luke chapter 10, you remember what you remember reading about in Luke chapter 10? A certain Samaritan. We'll talk about him soon, Lord willing, what kind of Samaritan he was. Stay tuned for that. But in Luke 10 and in verse 27, when the lawyer asked, tempting the Lord, not interested really in sincerity or honesty, he was trying to entrap the Lord, he said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he knew, he answered. In his answer, he said, "Thy neighbor is to be loved as thyself." And then he tried to justify himself. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And that's when the Lord told about a certain Samaritan, Luke 10 and in verse 27. The Bible has a lot to say about this personal issue, doesn't it? When Paul wrote to the saints at Rome in Romans 13 and in verse 9, he said that love is that which fulfills the law. And he said, "If there be any other commandment," is briefly comprehended in this saying. Here's a comprehensive saying. Make a good study. A comprehensive saying. And you'd know what it is now, wouldn't you? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That takes in lots of things. This world would be a better place in lots of ways. If all persons would address this personal issue, this personal love of one's neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself. A lot of people don't know anything about that today. Don't even know their neighbors. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Here's a one-word law-fulfilling statement. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. How? As thyself. In the book of James, chapter 2, and in verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Did you notice how this personal issue is described? The royal law, a one-word fulfilling statement. And as Paul put it in Romans chapter 13, then verse 9, comprehensive. That says it all. What more needs to be said about that personal issue? But in addition to that, I believe the Bible teaches that there is a sense in which faith is a personal issue. Not the faith, but one's personal faith. In Romans 14 and in verse 22, you see the word faith is sometimes used different ways. Sometimes it's used of the gospel. It's used that way in the book of Galatians. Because in Galatians 1:23, Paul was said to preach the faith. And then in chapter 2 and verse 2, he said he preached the gospel. But in Romans 14 and in verse 22, Paul said, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. I know that's not the gospel, because we're not to keep the gospel to ourselves. For the Lord commissioned the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. And so this is of one's personal faith or conscience. He talked about in verse 2, one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So there were some, because of conscience sake, didn't believe they could eat meat. So they became vegetarians in essence, eating herbs. Another issue was observing days. Verse 5, he said, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. And so if you had faith that you could eat all things or observe days, then he said, have it to thyself. That was a personal issue. He said in the latter part of verse 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And so these were personal issues that were to be determined in one's own mind. Next, when it comes to considering, the Bible teaches that considering is a personal issue. Like in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, when Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering who? Thyself. Self must be considered when attempting to restore brethren overtaken in a fault. That's a personal issue. A failure to consider self may result in one's being tempted and being led astray. Galatians 6:1. In connection with that, I know that some self-considering must be done in Matthew 7, verse 3, when the Lord said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not what? The beam that is in thine own eye. So that's a personal issue. In that Matthew 7 passage, he's teaching that we need to resolve our personal issues before we try to assist others with their problems. But also, when you make your list of personal issues, how we behave ourselves is also a personal issue. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul wrote to the young preacher saying, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave. What's the next word? Thyself. The Bible puts emphasis on thyself. That's an individual. That's a personal thing. Behave thyself in the house of God. How you behave is a personal issue. You can't behave for me. I can't behave for you. In the house of God has to do with how we conduct ourselves as children of God. Paul set the example in his work among the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, he said, "You're witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." That's a good example, isn't it? You might underscore holily, justly, unblameably. Those described the behavior of Paul and Silas and Timothy in their work among the Thessalonians. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:7, in his second letter, he said, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Behave yourself is what he's saying. That's a personal issue. Another personal issue that you and I have is that of exercise. Maybe you go to the doctor and they say, "John, you need to get some more exercise." John Edwards, not Albright. I mean, it's a personal issue, right? And so the doctor tells me personally, "John, you need to get some more exercise." And so I go home and I say, "Nicholas, I need you to get on the treadmill for me. Jared, I need you to go out and run the trail for me. Jamark, why don't you ride the bike?" Can they do that for me? Is that going to help me? Is that going to benefit me personally? That can't exercise for me. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Run a block or two for me, would you? Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It's a personal issue, right? That's true of physical exercise. And that's true of spiritual exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 7, Paul said, "Refuse profane and old wives' fables." Did you know there was such a thing as old wives' fables? You ever hear any of those? Maybe you have. What do you say about that? One translation says, "Have nothing to do with it." Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. That's a good expression. Exercise has to do with training. A lot of people train for different things. And you know that word exercise and training takes work. And that's a personal issue. How come some people are so godly and some people maybe not so godly, maybe ungodly? Because they didn't put the personal time and attention it took into this personal issue of exercise. You got to work at it, right? You're going to run cross country or track, whatever it is. That training, that discipline, that exercise is a personal issue, isn't it? And if I get out there on the track and I run out of steam, I can't fault the coach. I can't fault the other people on the team. Say, "Yeah, it's your fault." It's a personal issue. And thus it is with godliness. To being godly takes training. Takes the right training. That's why some children are godly. Some young people are godly. They have good parents to help train them. Train them up in the way they should go. You ought to value that and appreciate that as a young person, that godly training. And see the value of bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children usually become what their parents are. So as a parent, be what you want your children to be. A good example of godliness. It takes exercise. But also, when I think about the use the Holy Spirit made of the word thyself and how that demands personal attention, I think of what he said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Paul said, "Meditate upon these things." Give, what's the next word? Thyself. Who? Thyself. That's me. That's personal. Give thyself how? Wholly to them, that thy poverty may appear to all. When it comes to meditation and giving yourself wholly, That's a personal issue. Nobody can meditate for you. Nobody can give themselves wholly for you. I like some other statements from other translations. One says, give yourself entirely. Another says, give your complete attention to. You know, sometimes we have divided attention. Our attention is divided between different things. Talk about undivided attention. Maybe before somebody gets this up to speak, they introduce the speaker and say, give him your undivided attention. What does that mean? Give him your complete attention. And give complete attention to these things that he's talked about in this chapter. Like back in verse 6, he said, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. These things have to do with the faith, how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God. And another translation says, immerse yourself in them. Immerse yourself. Be committed to them. Be absorbed in them. Meditation. It takes time to meditate, to think, to ponder, to reflect at length. The psalmist talked about that back in the book of Joshua, before that even. Joshua chapter 1 and 8, when Joshua succeeded Moses in leadership of the Lord's people, God's charge to this great man included, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, in the book of the law. How often? Day and night. Day and night. Don't get so busy that you don't have time to meditate in this book day and night. And here's the thing that goes along with that. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Maybe we become negligent. Maybe we don't do some things that we need to be doing because we haven't been meditating like we need to be. Now to the blessed man of Psalms. Remember Psalm 1? Blessed is the man. I want to be that man, don't you? Happy, blessed. Joshua talked about it. The psalmist in Psalm 1 and 2, he said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The psalmist couldn't have been a better example of that himself, could he? Have you thought about all the meditation he did? Psalm 119, several times he expresses that. Verse 15, he said, I'll meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 23, he said, thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Meditate. Meditation is perhaps the best medication for the soul when it comes to the law of the Lord. Verse 48, you doubt his time in meditation? He said, my hands also I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 78, I will meditate in thy precepts. And then once more in Psalm 119, this time verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches. What's that? Sleep. What kept him awake at night? He said, I might meditate in thy word. He stayed up at night thinking about the Lord's word. It's a good example. Why meditate? Why reflect so much upon the Lord's law? Why give ourselves wholly? Why give your complete attention, immerse yourself, be committed, be absorbed in these things, that thy profiting, that is your progress, may appear to all. You know, it's obvious, it's apparent when people make progress spiritually. Progress. The Lord wants us to progress, go forward, not backwards. And that is important. It's a personal issue, personal progress. Maybe somebody says that of you. You made good personal progress. Maybe in school, they've been looking at those test results. Midterm, and you made good progress from when you started. Maybe as an athlete, you made good progress. You got out there and you couldn't dribble a ball. Now you're up and down the court dribbling it, not even looking at the ball. How about from a spiritual standpoint? How much progress are we making? It's a personal issue. Another personal issue has to do with our purity. In the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, and in verse 22, what's the last three words? Keep blank pure. What word goes in the blank? Thyself. That's a personal issue. Purity has to do with the person. A lot of people compromise that, sacrifice that, and they live to regret it all their days. In the book of Psalms, I got to thinking about some things that will help us as individuals preserve our purity. One thing is giving attention to the Lord's Word. That'll help to keep us pure. I don't know of anything more pure than the Lord's Word. In Psalm 12 and 6, he said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." That's pretty pure. I'd say that's perfectly pure, wouldn't you? Seven is a perfect number. The Lord's Word is perfectly pure. So if you want to be pure, spend your time with this. Another thing that'll help us to keep ourselves pure is to keep our thinking right. That's a full-time job, isn't it? Just keeping your thinking right. Can you control what other people think? Don't even try. You ever seen a vehicle stuck in the mud spinning its tires, not going anywhere? That's all you're going to do. You're going to wear yourself out. It's a full-time job just to control this thinker, right? Philippians 4:8 points out some wonderful places to put your mind. Think on these things. And among that list, he said, whatsoever things are pure. We have to think pure to be pure. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. From 2 Timothy 2:22, something else we can do to keep ourselves pure. If you're interested in this personal issue, how about flee, follow, and keep the right company? He said, flee also youthful lust. Run away from that. But follow after. You're going in another direction. Follow what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. So you got to flee and follow to keep yourself pure. And then he said, with them. That's your company. That's who you associate with. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So associate with pure-hearted people. That'll help you keep yourself pure. Give attention to the Lord's Word. Keep your thinking right. Flee, follow, and keep the right company. And then, for another suggestion along that line, keep yourself pure. How about obeying the truth? Truth, obedience, purifies the soul. 1 Peter 1, 22. Peter said, seeing you purified your souls. How'd they do that? In obeying the truth. That's a personal issue. You can't keep anybody else pure, can you? As much as you'd like to, you can't do it. And you got all that you can handle just in keeping yourself pure. God help us to do that. Next, how about study? Is that a personal issue? Can anybody study for you? You know, I've got an exam coming up. It's a big one. I've got to pass it. How about studying for me? I'm pretty busy. Got a lot going on. Here's the book. You read it. You study for me. And I'm going to take the test. See how that works? Better not. You probably won't pass. Because study is a personal issue. Paul put it this way, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved. You ought to circle the word thyself every time. Thyself. It's a personal issue. Approved unto God. There are two groups of people. Those approved and those not. When it comes to God. A workman, he said, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, if we don't put forth the work and study as to rightly divide the word of truth, we have every reason to be ashamed. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves for lack of rightly dividing the word of truth. But that word study suggests to give diligence, which involves work. And that's a personal issue. You can't study for me. I can't study for you. We got to do that ourselves. That's what this whole day is all about, personal issues. And then finally, how about from the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 7? In all things, how much? Some? Just a few things? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could be a pattern in just one thing? In just one thing. But he didn't say just in one thing. Just pick one thing and you'd be a good example in that. He said in all things. That's challenging, isn't it? That's humbling to think about that awesome responsibility to try to be a pattern in all things. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, Titus 2:7. That word pattern suggests an example or model. Like maybe you put together a little model, maybe a model car, model airplane. Kind of gives it a pattern. And that's the way our lives need to be. We need to show ourselves a pattern in all things. Look at him, look at her, look at them. They set a good example, they're a pattern. You look at their lives. You look at their doctrine, it's uncorrupt. They're grave people. They're serious about the Lord and His Word. They're sincere people. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 appealed to Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. Sometimes older people look down upon young people. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. They wouldn't have any reason to if we feel this in our lives. He said, be thou an example of the believers. When we're an example, they don't have any reason to look down upon us. And he gave the list, the areas, in word, that's what you say. In conversation, that's your conduct, that's what we do, our behavior. In charity, that's love. Look at your love, you model love, you're an example of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is, love does not. They look at you, they see that. In spirit, we talked about that this morning, about ruling over your spirit. Has to do with self-control, your attitude, your temper. Good example when it comes to your temper and how you handle things. A lot to keep a fellow busy there, isn't there, in that list? In faith, example in faith. What kind of faith do you have? Is it weak? Is it strong? Is it great? Is it little? In purity. I'll just circle those words. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Showing thyself a pattern. Who can do that? Who can be that example? Only you can be. Make a good study. Be an example. I talk about lots of people. Be an example, Dad, right? Talking to myself as a father and other who are fathers. Be an example, Dad, right? To the young men and young women that look up to us as an example. Be an example, Mom, right? To the mothers, those daughters, they're going to follow along and be an example, Mom. Be an example, grandparents, right? Grandma, Grandpa, they have a lot of influence upon their young. I know they do because look at Timothy and his grandmother and the example that she had upon him. How about be an example, members? Be an example. Saints, be an example. Who else do you think needs to be an example? Elders, set an example. Remember, 1 Peter 5, example set, be an example. Lots of people, we all need to be an example. Show thyself a pattern. I hope that this study today, this two-part study, between the words own and thyself, help us appreciate the fact that we all have personal issues. Sometimes maybe we hear a lesson and we think, man, I wish so-and-so were here. They really needed that. That'd be a good sermon for them, or that'd be a good study for them. They have those issues. I'm glad I was here to hear it. How about you? I needed that. Because everybody has personal issues. If you're a person, You do. I recall a number of years ago, first started preaching, there's a fellow that didn't take part in the services. I said something to him about it. I said, he used to get up and read the scriptures and make announcements, and he hadn't been doing any of that lately. He said, I have some personal issues. And maybe a fellow you knew that served as an elder in the church, and he stepped down, resigned from the eldership because of personal issues. Or folks that aren't attending the services like they need to be because of personal issues. And a fellow used to be a deacon, served as a deacon, no longer serving, he said, because of personal issues, whatever that is. We ought not allow personal issues to come between us and the Lord, or to keep us from serving the Lord. We all have personal issues, don't we, that we need to deal with. The Bible puts emphasis on the person, the individual. And may God help us to make personal application in our own lives, to be what God would have us to be, to do what He'd have us to do, so that heaven can be our home. Remember those words from Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't let anybody try to tell you that you don't need to obey the Lord. You'll recognize as you read and study, the Bible calls upon individuals to hear the word of the Lord, to believe it, to obey it in repenting of their sins, to confess their faith and to be baptized. And somebody said, you don't need to be baptized. Don't let them try to talk you out of doing what the Bible says. That's a personal issue. And if you come to the conclusion that you need to obey, there's no finer time than right now. We're here to help you do that. We'd like to persuade you to do that. As Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. That's what Paul was doing, trying to persuade him to be a Christian. And we hope that we could persuade you to be a Christian this afternoon through obedience to the gospel. Maybe you've obeyed, but you've not been what you need to be. And we hope that you'll repent of that, whatever it is that is keeping you from being what you need to be. Ask for God's forgiveness in prayer. Appreciate the good way that you've listened. Hope that something said today will be of some help to you in some way spiritually. That's what it's all about, trying to go to heaven. And if we can help you in any way, why don't you come now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.